a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The South Dakota Senate will now come to order. And leading us in our prayer this afternoon is Reverend Susan Carr of the United Church of Christ here in Pierre. And leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag is our page from this term, Walker Iverson from Murdo.
Please join with me in prayer. God, holy and loving, before we begin our deliberating, we pause to place before you our hopes, our fears, our service, and our thanksgiving. Let whatever comes from our gathering give glory to you. We thank you for the great diversity of minds and hearts across this state, the resources that are within the people here, for the innocence of children and the energy and seeking of our youth, the sacrifices made by those in midlife and the wisdom of our elders. As we gather this day, we pray for Senator Jim Hudstad, who will have triple bypass surgery tomorrow. We ask that you would send your great physician, Jesus Christ, to stand near beside him in this time. And we thank you for the grace that has led him to this care. We pray and ask your wisdom upon our governor and lieutenant governor. We ask your spirit upon these senators. We ask a blessing upon their families for the sacrifices serving the public good entails. We pray for our nation, our president, our Congress, our judges, indeed for all who are servant leaders among us. As we gather, let our speech with one another be respectful and help us to listen. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Help us to encourage one another in these difficult days. Stand beside us and fill us with courage. Go before us and lead us. In trust and obedience, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Secretary will call the roll, please.
Adelstein, Bogalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frericks, Frisley, Gray, Hansen, Havely, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Krause, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Norstrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Ray, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 23rd day. All errors typographical or otherwise are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move adoption of the report. Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Where are all our pages? They all swimming around now? Okay. Well, if you'd go ahead and just line up back here. And these are new pages, ladies and gentlemen, we have for our last 2 weeks here. I think we've lost a couple, but we've got a... Okay. We'll get him when he comes back, okay? Few announcements, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your legislature. The box lunches today were compliments of the South Dakota Extension Partners and Advocacy Group for SDSU Extension. And we have a few present here today. Thank you for lunch. We also have the doctor of the day. Doctors donate their whole time here for a day, away from their practices and the patients they take care of, to take care of us, and we're really privileged to have Dr. Jeff Hansen from Watertown. Doctor, welcome. Also, help me welcome on behalf of the Senate the senior government classes from Trip Delmont Armor and their instructors, Mrs. Cahoy, and Trip Delmont and Mr. Holderby from Armor. Included in this class is our Sergeant-at-Arms, Dave Bondi's grandson, Zach Chris, and Armor government class. Dave's wife, Linda, and daughter, Melissa, and grandson, Jacob, are also up here. Round of applause, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for sharing Dave with us. And soon he'll be back home. That's a warning. So, and also today is one of SDA's Education Days in the legislature. With us today are educators from across the state. Are they back straight up here? Okay. Would you please stand? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great privilege to welcome back one of our own from this great legislature and our current Congresswoman representing the entire state of South Dakota, Congresswoman Kristi Noem.
Oh, thank you. You can go ahead and, yes, exactly. Lieutenant Governor said, welcome to America. And that is very true. Thank you all for having me. It's my honor to be here today. And thank you all for taking time away from your families and your businesses to come and do the work for the people of South Dakota. It is so clear to me every day I'm in Washington, D.C., how policy drives everything in people's everyday lives. And so I want to appreciate you for giving us good policy, for making South Dakota, first of all, a business-friendly state, that other states talk about us and about the environment that we have created here. And all of your decisions keep us on the top of the heap as far as that's concerned. And so I really do appreciate the work that you do. And I'm sure you're all looking forward to wrapping it up and heading home. So I just want to talk about a couple of things. Obviously, this year the House will be putting together another budget. We did last year, and it was a fundamental reform budget that really brought things into line, set us on the path towards balancing our fiscal situation that we have in this country. The Senate, on the other hand, did not pass a budget. It's been 1,000 days since the Senate has even proposed a budget. And so I'm hoping that we on the federal level can follow the example that you do every single year, and that is make the decisions, make the hard ones if it's necessary, do your work for the good of the people. That's what we're working towards. But, you know, in this election year, it may be a bit of a challenge. Whatever you do, don't take your cues from Washington, D.C. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Honest Budget Act. Just a couple of priorities that are mine this next year that I want you to keep your eye on. The Honest Budget Act is an act that just a few of us freshmen have put together. And it's something that I want you to watch because it will completely change the way the federal government does its budgeting process. A lot of the leadership doesn't like it, and a lot of the old bulls in Washington, D.C. don't like it. And it's because this act gets rid of all the gimmicks that they've used for years to overspend and put us into the situation that we're facing today. So as you hear some of the discussion throughout the next year or two, I hope that you'll pay attention to the Honest Budget Act because it is one of those pieces of legislation I'm very proud to sponsor and to be a part of that I think will change the way that Washington, D.C. operates. We also have some bills that have come through that I've worked very hard on that I think will be very impactful for South Dakota. You've all heard a little bit about my dust bill. It's a bill that would keep the EPA from raising their standards on dust and how it affects farmers. I'll tell you today that in Arizona, farmers, when the wind blows too hard, have to shut down their combines, and that is a fact. If we allowed the EPA to go to the standards they were recommending, that would certainly come here and impact South Dakota farmers. That's why we pushed so hard with bipartisan support to get that bill through the House, and we're waiting for the Senate to take it. I want you to remember that it did have bipartisan support, vast bipartisan support, and that it had over 180 different organizations that supported it, that recognized the impact it would have on agriculture in this country. Another one of the bills I'm working on has to do with impact aid. South Dakota is hit very hard by federally impacted schools that have federal land in their districts. The way that program works right now, those schools can't count on when to get their funding. And so I put forward a bill this year that would streamline the process, make sure that if a school district had a reservation land in it, had air base like Ellsworth, or had other provisions in it that kept it from collecting taxes to support its school, that they got timely process payments from the federal government. It's a good bill, and it has been wrapped into our education policies that will be coming to the floor later this year. And it's going to be great for South Dakota schools that face unique challenges. And the last thing I want to talk to you about is our transportation bill. Our transportation bill that's coming is going to change the way that we look at the future. The reason is it because it brings in another funding source for how we build roads and bridges in this country. We will use royalties off of new energy developments right here at home. So offshore drilling, onshore drilling, North Dakota drilling, South Dakota drilling, those royalties will go towards infrastructure and transportation projects. That's our roads. That's our bridges. And we even streamlined this bill so much that it will be specifically geared just towards roads and bridges. It won't build any ballparks. It won't build parking lots. It will be where it's really needed to make sure our commerce activity happens. It is also the first time in a long time that we've seen a transportation bill that didn't have any earmarks, that didn't have stimulus spending that put us into debt. And that is a big change from how it has operated in the past, and it's a big win for the people in this country who recognize that we have to change the ways that the federal government operates and the way that it spends the hardworking taxpayers' money. So I want to thank you all for your support, for the good example you set for the country, for all that you do for the people of South Dakota. May God richly bless you and bless the United States. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Nigar.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you. Well, I don't often do this, but this being my last rodeo this year, I thought perhaps it was long overdue to draw attention to that person who made my last 6 years possible here in this great capital of South Dakota, someone who I've had a close association with for over 30 years, and she happens to be here in the gallery today. That's my wife, Sherry, up there. Please stand up, Sherry. I know I
Yay, Sherry!
No, no, come on.
And as testament to those 30 years, she's brought one of our products with that young lady on the left up there who has served this great body as a page many years ago. Not that many years ago, I should say. And I've got to be PC about this. And she's been a secretary to the House minority. She's been a U.S. Senate page, a U.S. Senate intern, Senator Johnson. She's been a United States State Department intern in the embassy in Berlin. And she's studied at USD and SDSU, where my wife got two of her degrees. So, and with her is that is a pilot from Horizon Air, who has been a close friend of hers for several years now. And anyhow, I'd like to have them stand and recognize. Oh, that's Jeanette Nygaard and Lauren Waddle.
That's great. Thank you. You didn't stand very long. Oh, a little shy. Well, we won't point you out. Senator Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to request a personal
request. Thank
yes.
you. Granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to have a tough time topping the Senate here, but nevertheless, today, as you know, was Armors Day, and we're very glad to have our small community come up and be of service to us here today with a nice breakfast, breakfast this morning. And I have some members in the audience here, and I'd like to have you recognize them. The mayor of Armor here today, Travis Sparks, councilwoman Nicole Nigelbauer, and, of course, if you're looking for Homeland Security in Douglas County, you got to go through Pat Hankin up here. So get those three folks to stand up and be recognized. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, we'll proceed for students, especially those listening online, and those who are present. We're working through mostly housekeeping items to start with. And the next item of business is communications.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, pursuant to provisions of Chapter 41(2) of the South Dakota Codified Laws and subject to your consent, I have the honor to inform you that I have appointed Duane K. Sather, Minnehaha County, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. This appointment is effective immediately and shall continue until January 10, 2016. Dennis Dugard, Governor. Mr. President, members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 41(2) of the South Dakota Codified Laws and subject to your consent, I have the honor to inform you that I have appointed William F. Cerny, Gregory County, Burke, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. This appointment is effective immediately and shall continue until January 10, 2016. Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Both appointments are referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources for consideration of advice and consent. Reports of standing committees, please.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, the Committee of Commerce and Energy reports it has had under consideration House Bills 1097, 1125, and 1229 and recommends due pass and place on the consent calendar. Senator Nygaard, Chair. The Committee on Judiciary reports it has had under consideration House Bill 1039 and recommends due pass. House Bills 1095, 1114, 1160, 1194, and 1245 do pass and place on the consent calendar. Senator Teason, Chair. The Committee on Appropriations reports House Joint Resolution 1006, House Bills 1017, 1051, 1164, and 1199 and recommends do pass. House Bill 1157 and 1158 were deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Brown, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources reports it has had under consideration House Bill 1117 and recommends due pass. House Bill 1230, due pass as amended. House Bill 1188 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Krebs, Chair. Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 5, 11, 19, 39, 41, 56, 57, 69, 107, 115, and 168, and find the same correctly enrolled. Bob Gray, Chair.
Messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bill 72, which has been amended by the House, and your concurrence in the amendments is requested. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk. House Concurrent Resolution 1010, which has been adopted by the House, and your concurrence is requested. And Senate Bills 5, 11, 19, 39, 41, 56, 57, 69, 107, 115, and 68, which have passed the House without change. Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Olson moves that House Bills 1018, 1066, 1131, 1046, and 1064 be deferred to Wednesday, February 22nd, the 25th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, a concurrent resolution urging the government of Turkey to uphold and safeguard religious and human rights and to respect the property rights and human rights of the Ecumenical Patriarch. Senator Heineman moves that Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, as found on page 465 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Comments on that motion? Good afternoon, Senator.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I'm asking you for your favorable consideration today of Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, urging the government of Turkey to uphold and safeguard religious and human rights of all of its citizens without exception, to grant the Ecumenical Patriarch appropriate international recognition, ecclesiastical succession, and the right to train clergy of all nationalities, and to respect the property rights and human rights of the Ecumenical Patriarch and all religious and faith traditions. Now, the content of this resolution may seem a little distant, a world away for many of us, but for many of our constituents who are Orthodox Christians, or specifically are members of the Greek Orthodox churches located in my district in Sioux Falls and in Senator Adelstein's district in Rapid City, this request is very personal. One of those parishioners is a gentleman I met this summer who is a parishioner of the Greek Orthodox Church in my district. When I visited with him, he had just returned from Turkey. He said, "I love the country, love the people, But he said, previously, I had not been as convinced about the importance of this issue. I knew there were great restrictions placed on the patriarch, the inability to train clergy with the closing of the seminary, the loss of property, and significant restrictions of the Turkish government with the patriarch's mission of ministering to Orthodox Christians. However, he said, after traveling with a group to visit the patriarch and meeting Patriarch Bartholomew, he said, I'm absolutely committed to its importance and committed to have my home state of South Dakota pass a resolution that would encourage continued dialogue and communication between the leadership of the Turkish government and the Orthodox Christian Church. This resolution is actually a part of a bipartisan national initiative on behalf of the Orthodox Christian Ecumenical Patriarch in Istanbul, Turkey. Patriarch Bartholomew is the spiritual leader of over 300 million Orthodox Christians worldwide, including many of those in South Dakota. The Ecumenical Patriarchate in Istanbul is an almost 2,000-year-old Christian see founded by the Apostle Andrew. As stated in your resolution, to have only 3,000 Christian Orthodox remaining in Turkey is truly alarming. You know, we often question the value of our resolutions. While any single state resolution may not be enough to move a government to action, the cumulative effect of 44 of these resolutions adopted across 37 states currently, and there's another 6 states that they're looking at it right now, this has been noticed by the Turkish Foreign Ministry. These resolutions represent the will of the citizens of our nation in all of these states and our powerful statement to the Turkish government of the importance that we place on religious freedom. It's important that South Dakota adds our voice to those other 37 states. In addition to these initiatives, active engagement is also taking place within the Office of the President, the United States Senate, and as you noticed in the resolution, a letter signed by both Senator Johnson and Senator Thune to President Obama declared that the restoration of religious freedom and human rights for the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew is in the best interests of the people of all faiths, including those in America and in Turkey. Later this year, sometime in the fall, lay leaders of the Orthodox Church will hand-deliver all of these resolutions, and hopefully South Dakota's included, to Secretary of State Clinton, who is on record as calling on the Turkish government to extend religious freedom to the Ecumenical Patriarchate. In a separate trip in the fall, they will also hand-deliver copies of the adopted resolutions to the Turkish Foreign Minister. The good news is that all of these efforts, especially including the adoption of state resolutions, are beginning to produce positive results. The Turkish government has recently returned a large orphanage to the Ecumenical Patriarch. Other encouraging news is that the Turkish government, responding to initiatives such as Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, announced in August that it would establish a process for the return of the properties. Voices within Turkey itself are also calling on their government to ease the restrictions. A young Muslim Turkish journalist wrote, he said, first, I believe that no state, including mine, should have the power to decide how individuals and civil institutions should define themselves. He said, states should exist to respect and protect our freedoms, not to violate them. He said, I suggest we start by simply acknowledging that His Holiness Bartholomew I is the Ecumenical Patriarch. He said this will affirm a much-needed respect, not just to him and to his church, but also to our very selves. So these resolutions are both a constant reminder and an incentive to the Turkish government to fulfill its obligations for all its citizens so that they, as well as all Orthodox Christians around the world, including in South Dakota, can enjoy full religious freedom. I urge your support. Thank you, Mr. President, and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Hyndman. Senator Adelstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I join the Senator from Minnehaha County urging your adoption of this resolution. As you all well know, I'm not a Christian, but the Christian patriarch should have the same rights as anyone of any faith anywhere in the world. Let me tell you a very brief story, because what difference will South Dakota make? I've been trying to figure out how many years ago, but it would be close to 30 years ago, that this legislature adopted a resolution calling on the Soviet Union to rescind their prohibition against allowing flour to be made into matzahs because they didn't like the celebration of Passover, which is obviously a celebration of freedom. Senator then Frank Henderson, later Supreme Court Justice Frank Henderson, and a longtime friend of many in this room, brought a resolution to the floor of this Senate. And it was astounding because South Dakota isn't New York, it isn't California, it isn't Pennsylvania with huge Jewish populations, but South Dakota is made up of people that really care. And you know what? There was a recess in the prohibition in several of the cities of the Soviet Union because of what happened in Little South Dakota in the middle of the United States. And as you all know, Rudy Henderson isn't Frank Henderson isn't Jewish. He's a Roman Catholic and a wonderful practicing Roman Catholic. Thought that story would sort of support what we're doing today. They pay attention to us because we are what we are.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Heineman's motion that SCR 6 be adopted. Those in favor of adoption will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray. Hansen.
Aye.
Haberle.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen,
aye.
Hunstad, Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston, Junkie,
aye.
Kraus,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Olson, no,
aye.
Sorry, Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters, Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 31, excused 4.
Thank you. Senator Heineman's motion that SCR 6 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby passed and is so adopted. Consideration reports at committees. Oh, I'm sorry, you have one more.
House Concurrent Resolution 1010, a concurrent resolution urging Congress to adopt a proposed constitutional amendment limiting federal legislation to a single subject.
The President waives referral to committee and it will be placed. HCR 1010 will be placed on tomorrow's calendar. Now reports of standing committees, please.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources on House Bill 1083 as found on page 462 of the Senate Journal, Commerce and Energy on House Bill 1227 as found on page 463 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Second reading of consent calendar for House bills. Our consent calendar is comprised of bills that passed out of committee unanimously. The committee can put them on this consent calendar. It's a calendar where we don't debate bills, but questions may be asked, or any senator may pull a bill and have it debated tomorrow. In this case, we have two bills that have been pulled for debate tomorrow. That's 1059 and 1121. 1059 and 1121. Please proceed.
House Bill 1128, an act to require the Board of Education to conduct public hearings before adopting certain standards. An act to revise and House Bill 1153, an act to revise and clarify certain provisions relating to the revocation of fur dealer licenses. 1047, an act to revise certain provisions relating to military law. 1063, an act to repeal certain statutes related to the testimony of sex offense victims and to evidence of a victim's prior sexual conduct and to establish the rationale and effect of the appeal. 1065, an act to repeal the requirement that the unified judicial system set forth a schedule for all fees paid directly to court reporters in its annual consolidated budget. 1079, an act to revise certain publication date citations for references to the International Building Code.
House bills 1128, 1153, 1047, 1063, 1065, and 1079, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of those consent calendar House bills. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Prisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie.
Aye.
Krauss.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, excused 3.
Thank you. House bills 1128, 1153, 1047, 1063, 1065, and 1079, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are all hereby declared passed. Any questions on the titles? Hearing none, the titles are approved. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, second reading of House bills. This is our debate calendar.
House Bill 1088, an act to revise certain requirements for charging and collecting certain fees for confining certain people in the county jail.
Thank you. House Bill 1088, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Krebs, good afternoon.
House Bill 1088 has been brought forth by the County Commission Association in response to the legislative audit process. Currently, a county in statute, it states that it must or shall put money into a jail fund. So if they have a jail, or I should say, even if they don't have a jail, it still says that they shall put money into a jail fund. What this change here is allows for permissive language saying that they may versus shall, and that is in response to because many of the counties now do not have a jail, and so therefore we want to change that language so they don't get so-called dinged when they're audited by the legislative audit process. So this is permissive language, changing the shall on page 1, line 7, to the may, so that they may provide the money to the jail fund if they still have a county jail to operate. So I'd appreciate your support on House Bill 1088.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1088. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie.
Aye.
Krauss.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, excused 3.
Thank you. House Bill 1088, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Title's deemed approved.
House Bill 1202, an act to repeal certain provisions regarding reckless and unsafe driving.
House Bill 1202, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Welcome back, Senator Krebs.
Thank you again, Mr. President, and members of the Senate body. House Bill 1202 is really in response of cleanup legislation or the governor's initiative to remove red tape. This is an old statute that's been on the books for a while. If you look at it, what it says in this current statute that we have and want to repeal is that you, if you're driving down a downgrade or a hill, so to speak, that you shall not coast in neutral. And I think when you look back at why this bill was in, or I should say why this law was on the books, is that, of course, in the old day, how you used to start trucks, our heavy-duty equipment had to be started on a hill, and then, of course, they didn't want to see you remain in neutral because of a safety issue. There are other statutes on the books. If this would be the case that is covered in careless and reckless driving, and the South Dakota Truckers Association was in favor of this bill, and if you wanted to drive your truck down the hill in neutral, you've got bigger problems to worry about. So at this time, at this point, I appreciate your support on House Bill 1202.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1202. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie,
aye.
Krauss,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nordstrom,
aye.
Nygaard,
yes. Aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley,
aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, excused 3.
House Bill 1202, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on this title? Hearing none, the title is approved.
House Bill 1263, an act to provide for mandatory HIV testing for any person convicted of prostitution or solicitation of prostitution, and to provide for appropriate utilization of the test results.
House Bill 1263, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Good afternoon, Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is this even on? Maybe. All right. Well, House Bill 1263 allows for the state of South Dakota for any persons convicted of prostitution or solicitation of prostitution shall be required, with or without that person's consent, to undergo a standard diagnostic test for HIV under the standard testing protocols of the Department of Health. The fees would be the court shall order the convicted person to pay the cost of the testing, and the cost shall be treated as any other court or fine. And if the person is tested as an inmate or is an inmate and under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections, the cost of testing shall be taken from the person's inmate account. And there will be no changes to the Department of Health on how they work with these individuals. They have a standard operating procedure and procedures that they deal with and going through and discussing and counseling these folks. And with that, I'd ask for your due pass on House Bill 1263. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1263. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford. Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie.
Aye.
Krauss.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman. Maher. Nelson,
aye.
Nordstrom,
aye.
Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley,
aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 30, excused 5.
House Bill 1263, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved.
House Bill 1195, an act to authorize the collection of fees for certain educational programming and services and to declare an emergency.
House Bill 1195, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Brown, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1195 is one of those bills that I would say is a good example of be careful of which question you ask. For decades, our schools have engaged in the practice of providing driver's education. In fact, I can remember a little over two decades ago when I took that particular program. For the longest time, there was an assumption, apparently incorrectly, that our school districts had the authority to charge a fee to recoup some of the costs of providing these programs that went above and beyond the typical curriculum of a student. Last year, the Attorney General was asked to give an opinion on this particular piece, and his opinion indicated that unless the legislature were to expressly grant permission for school districts to charge a fee for activities like driver's education or preschool, that those school districts did not have the authority to do that. House Bill 1195 is basically an attempt to give that or express that authority from this legislature to indicate that we believe it is okay for a school district to charge fees for those types of activities. A second piece that I would note about this bill is you will see that there is an emergency clause. That is done because, as you know, typically when a bill passes here, it won't take effect until July 1st. Many of these programs would take place immediately after the school year was done in the month of June, so this is an attempt not to interfere with that typical operation. With that, I would certainly encourage your support for House Bill 1195.
Thank you. Further remarks on House Bill 1195? Hearing none? I'm sorry. Senator Haverly.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I didn't hear the Haverly part. I was...
Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I most certainly can empathize with my friend, Senator Brown. I have some real issues with this bill on several levels. Not so much the driver's ed or charging for those services, because I don't think those services are real prevalent in South Dakota in any community or any county. Where I do have an issue is charging for the preschool and or child care services. First of all, and the first thing I'll point out, is that we'll actually have a commingling of funds, commingling of dollars. That's where my issue takes place. And I'll explain a little bit more on that in a second. The accountability. How are we going to know? We already have issues trying to get data out of the school districts. How are we going to know where the separation of those dollars are, whether they're private or whether they're public dollars? So the accountability portion. If I would look at this from a business perspective, I would look at it from the survivability of that business. What does it take to make that business operate? In the school district, they don't take everything as a whole picture. When they talk about how much it's going to cost to do something, they have free space. They have utilization of personnel. They're now competing with the private sector in an unfair playing field by being able to charge less than the private sector would, especially if you allow them to start to charge. We're holding them accountable because they're using state dollars at this point if they have a program. When they can start to compete and charge $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 less a week for a child in child care services or pre-K, we started to go down a very dangerous path. This nation did that once before. And the private sector industry fell apart. And at that point, once the public sector lost interest in doing it because there was not money to be made, the private sector came back and revitalized those early childhood programs. I most certainly, again, empathize with my friend. And I understand that there's a lack of these places for children in these small communities. But this bill has way too many questions that can't be answered today, at least not by my standards, being in business. And I'm sure every one of you that's in business would not want this advantage taken away from you as well or have an unfair advantage placed on you with government sector. So with that, I ask you to defeat the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
Question for the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
Does extracurricular activities include such things as debate or perhaps rugby if they were teaching it in a school that's not you know, where it isn't part of the regular sports, or maybe a dance band or other band things that go on that are not part of the regular band's schedule? Are those considered extracurricular?
Senator Brown, do you care to answer the question?
Senator, anything that would in my understanding, anything that would be defined by the High School Activities Association as an extracurricular activity would be covered by that. And so the intent of this bill is to not, this bill is not intended to affect those extracurricular activities. I certainly don't want to be charging a fee for band or debate or football. So very specifically in the bill, we exempt that out. And we leave those extracurricular activities as they currently exist.
Senator Adelstein, you have the floor.
I'm just not clear. Then, so they could charge a fee or they could not?
This bill would not change anything with the way those extracurricular activities work now. You would not be able to charge a fee because of this bill to activities that are considered extracurricular based on the South Dakota High School Activities Association.
Senator Adelstein, you have the floor.
Thank you. I guess I'm still uncertain. I think I'll have to vote no because I'm questioning it, because I'm really worried about losing some of the things that the schools are doing now and that they may charge for, that I don't know for sure. I know they charge something for some of the debate paper and the other stuff that comes in.
Senator Brown.
Senator Adelstein. The intent of this bill is not to allow that to happen. This has nothing to do with the extracurricular activities. This bill would not allow school districts to charge fees for those things. That specifically was included in language. So school districts would continue to offer those programs in the manner in which they currently do.
Senator Bogalka.
Thank you. I rise in support of this bill. I'm also a businessman, but, you know, I'm not in the daycare business. But what we're trying to do here is just codify what schools have been doing for the last several years. Because of a recent court decision, this has been put in jeopardy. I've received many emails from many different schools that have been offering driver's ed, and now they're not. Do we want a bunch of teenagers driving on the roads in South Dakota who haven't been through driver's ed? They're going to drop driver's ed if we don't allow them to charge for it. Also, preschool. My school has had preschool for several years. A lot of small communities don't have another viable option. Right now in my school district, they're asking the parents to donate whatever amount they see fit because they cannot legally charge. So this basically is going to allow the continuation of what school districts have been doing already. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you.
Further remarks. Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question of the sponsor.
State your question, ma'am.
My question is the intent of this bill that the early childhood programs will be fully supported by the fees that are charged and will not be using K-12 dollars?
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill does not specify that per se, Senator Heineman. I do think the logical conclusion is that there are a number of school districts that if they have to offer these types of services, the only way they could do that is through the use of the fee to offset those costs. But as the good senator from Pennington County indicated earlier, there may be cases where it's very difficult to separate out the depreciation on a classroom or a building and to say that there is just a black and white line in the sand.
Senator Heineman, you have the floor. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1195. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Requires a two-thirds majority vote due to the emergency clause. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein. Steen.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Hansen,
no.
Haverly,
no.
Heineman,
aye.
Holine,
no.
Hunstead, Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston, Junkie,
aye.
Krause,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman, Maher, Nelson,
aye.
Nostrup,
no.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
no.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
no.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 25, nays 6, excused 4.
House Bill 1195, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
House Bill 1050, an act to revise certain provisions regarding National Guard discipline and courts-martial.
House Bill 1050, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. House Bill 1050 was brought to us by the National Guard Bureau, the National Guard Department. What? It's a new mic. It's not working.
Can you hear me now? I think that was a commercial at one point. Yeah. Thank you very much. I like your mic better, Art, than my own. The Department of National Guard for the state of South Dakota brought forth this bill to judiciary. Well, that's when I first read it. And what it attempts to do, or not attempts to do, what it does is make it clear for what commanders utilize in discipline of the National Guard's forces, no matter where they're at, if they're at summer camp, if they're on state active duty to respond to a flood or some state disaster, or if they're at the FTX, the annual field training exercise at some place within the state. We have changed the way we do business in America in terms of guarding our great country and preserving our freedoms. Our standing army is getting smaller. Our National Guard's role has become more engaged and broader. And as a result, it's become obvious that the UCMJ, as the federal service rules and procedure for courts-martial and judicial discipline of young men and women who might step out of bounds once in a while within their service to this country, has created this need. So there's a number of states across America that have already adopted this. It was promulgated by the National Guard Bureau, and it seeks to codify and make state law. We have now a state, if we enact this, we'll have a state code of military justice to make it easier for them for the state guards to enforce a uniform system without any concerns, without this confusion over when it's federal versus state. It changes, makes it easier to hand out disciplinary action without the soldier being able to refuse that action and then, under the UCMJ, force a courts-martial. Most of the state's National Guards are not equipped to handle courts-martial. And if you, as was pointed out in testimony in Judiciary Committee this recently on this bill, that in some great number of years, I want to say 40 years, there's maybe been one court-martial in the great state of South Dakota, which, again, is a testament to the quality of young men and women who serve this great state and our nation. So with that, I would just urge you to vote yes for this standardization and making it clear what jurisdiction controls the discipline of our troops in South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Further remarks on House Bill 1050. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to, for those of you who are like me, not really well steeped in military jargon, South Dakota Guard is under Title 32, and our federal forces are under Title 10. And one of the issues that arose a number of years ago was a colonel in Title 10, or actually in Title 32, had difficulty in having a ranking of power, what's the right word, authority, because he was in Title, one in 32 had difficulty being recognized as a colonel in Title 10, just using that as an example. So the good senator just didn't point out that what we're really talking about It's well understood what happens under Title 10 with people that are in the military. It's not so well understood what happens under Title 32. And that's what our guard's under. So what he's really talking about is making it possible to do things under Title 32 that are currently possible under Title 10, so you don't have to try to invoke things that you really don't have an ability to invoke. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on House Bill 1050? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1050. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Shekaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 31, 1 nay, 3 excused.
House Bill 1050, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved.
House Bill 1212, an act to revise certain terms regarding tort liability.
House Bill 1212, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunoff, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Currently, we have a statute on the books that releases a property owner from liability for damages for certain recreational activities if permission has been granted by that landowner for the activities that are specified under the statute. What I'm asking today is to include aviation activity, and I'll use the example. Senator Brown has property up north, and he has a landing strip. I asked Senator Brown, I'm flying up north, but I want to stop over in Gettysburg, and I ask permission that I can use his landing strip. Senator Brown says, sure, go ahead and use it. So I land and I crash my plane and there's damages. I cannot turn around and sue Senator Brown because there was a big chuck hole or whatever it was that caused the damage to my plane. So all we're trying to do is there's already listings of outdoor activities. We're just trying to add aviation activity into that definition. I would ask for support on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. Certainly anything that would keep Senator Hunhoff from suing me would be something that we should all support as a body.
Mr. President.
Senator Adelstein, a cogent remark, I would imagine.
I'd like to know what Senator Brown, a naval aviator flying off of aircraft carriers, is trying to do landing in this other district. How could he get there even?
So I guess I was wrong. Further remarks? Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1212. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Ace Brown.
Aye.
Buell. Cutler, Frerichs, Frisley, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstad, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Krause, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Nostrup, Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schlickaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley,
aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, excused 3.
House Bill 1212, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved.
House Bill 1192, an act to amend certain limited liability company language.
House Bill 1192, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Senator, Mr. President.
Good afternoon, Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, House Bill 1192, frankly, should have been on consent calendar. It's that easy. So what's it do? It's an amendment to our Uniform Limited Liability Company Act, specifically the section on rights of creditors. And it clarifies that this particular section applies to single-member LLCs as well as to LLCs with more than one member. So what does this really mean? Essentially, what we're trying to do with this bill is, and why we need it, is so that single-member LLCs cannot be pierced quite so easily by creditors just because they are comprised of one member. Remember, an LLC protects individuals, and there's been cases where, because it's a single-member LLC, judges in other states have allowed them to be pierced more easily than LLCs with multiple members. So this will clarify that. With that, I ask for your support of House Bill 1192. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1192. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Migalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston. Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Bally.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, excused 3.
House Bill 1192, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. Senators, I have quite a few bills here, acts to sign, so we'll take announcements now. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans will caucus immediately. Room 423.
423. Further announcements. Senator Hunoff.
Thank you. Health and Human Services will meet at 10 tomorrow.
Thank you. Senator Roden.
Thank you. Senate State Affairs, 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Senator Brown.
Mr. President, Senate Appropriations, bill hearings tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. bill hearings. Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Transportation, 8 o'clock.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Taxation at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you. Senator Schleckaway.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government, 7:45 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Bradford Whip Group will meet in the first phone booth down the hall.
Nice. I understand it gets pretty rowdy in there. President is required under the Constitution to read acts that have passed both the House and the Senate and do so in open session. President is signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the distribution of state publications. Senate Bill 5.
You still want me to read these bill numbers off anymore like we did last year? Okay.
Okay, thanks. President signing an act to authorize the Governor's Office of Economic Development to create and administer a working capital loan program. President signing an act to revise rulemaking authority of the Commission on Gaming to allow the Commission to authorize the Executive Secretary of the Commission on Gaming to take certain actions on gaming licenses. President is signing an act to expand the definition of victim for the purpose of certain written victim impact statements. President is signing an act to authorize retailers to choose whether to submit pseudoephedrine purchase records electronically or in writing. President is signing an act to revise and repeal certain provisions relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. President is signing an act to revise and repeal certain administrative rules relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. President is signing an act to repeal the sunset provision on certain statutes relating to nursing homes on Indian reservations. President is signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding personalized motor vehicle license plates. President is signing an act to implement the regulation of insurance coverage for portable electronic devices. President is signing an act to revise terms and expiration dates of appointees to certain boards and commissions. President is signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the excuse from attendance of children receiving alternative instruction. It's House Bill 1005. President is signing an act to revise certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding the Department of Education. President is signing an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes regarding the Department of Education. President is signing an act to authorize the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks to sell the Marcotte tract located within the Marcotte Game Production Area in Meade County to the City of Sturgis. President is signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the rights of victims of crime. President is signing an act to authorize the publication of the names of certain delinquent taxpayers. President is signing an act to clarify certain requirements relating to insurance examinations. President is signing an act to revise the circumstances under which alterations may be made to certain insurance applications. President is signing an act to allow the disclosure of the status of certain insurance investigations and examinations. President is signing an act to establish and revise certain provisions and penalties related to the regulation of grain warehouses, grain buyers, and warehouse receipts. President is signing an act to revise the purpose of the agricultural mediation program. President is signing an act to increase the penalty for leaving the brand inspection area without necessary inspection and authorization. President is signing an act to make an appropriation for the payment of extraordinary litigation expenses and declare an emergency. President is signing an act to authorize a carryover of the fiscal year 2012 state aid to special education appropriation for fiscal year 2013 for the purpose of maintaining federal maintenance of efforts. President is signing an act to add certain definitions regarding the Department of the Military.
new pen. Yes. President signing an act to allow for joint physical custody orders after a court awards joint legal custody if it's in the best interest of the child. President signing an act to permit a probationary who is registered sex offender to reside in an assigned halfway house or supervised living center within a community safety zone. President signing an act to amend certain provisions related to interpreter services in the court system. Sorry, can't do that by proxy. President signing an act to clarify the supporting documentation necessary for a request to implement the standard visitation guidelines. President signing an act to revise certain provisions relating to the certificate of health requirements for the importation of animals. President signing an act to prohibit certain indemnity provisions in motor carrier transportation contracts. President signing an act to exempt certain contracts from competitive bidding requirements for water sewer district, water user districts. Pen number two down. Sweet. That's a nice pin putter. President signing an act to revise certain provisions concerning mechanical pull tab devices. President signing an act to permit a school district at the discretion of the school district to pay the fees charged for any criminal background investigation that is required by law for a prospective employee. President signing an act to remove the individual liability of a school board member who authorizes the making of a void contract check or registered warrant. President signing an act to establish provisions to exempt breastfeeding mothers or new parents from jury duty. President signing an act to limit copayment or coinsurance amounts for physical and occupational therapy services. President signing an act to revise auditing requirements for water development districts. President signing an act to exempt from sales tax certain handling fees paid by religious organizations or approved relief agencies for the distribution of food, which is provided for the assistance or relief of the poor, distressed, or underprivileged through the giveaway programs. And the President is signing an act to repeal the South Dakota Commission on Health Care. Madam Secretary.
Senator Putnam moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you.